Let us greet the people next to us. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the first service message, the message regarding the book of Ephesus. But last week was about the Thanksgiving worship, so we did that message. But today is the victorious believer and the church. The victorious believer and the church. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Paul gives a very important a message at the very end. Even if you live a good walk of faith, if you're deceived by Satan, it is all in vain. And the church of Ephesus is very important. It's a representative of all the churches in the region of Achaia, and it's a church that did the ministry really well. It's a very representative church. It saves the non-believers, saved the church, evangelizing their missions, and they did everything. But if you're deceived by Satan at the end, then everything is in vain. And so to this very church, Paul writes how to fight the spiritual battle and why you must fight the spiritual battle. And Paul writes and records this at the very end. So what is it that you must do in your own field? You have to arise the word movement. You have to arise the gospel movement. Why is it the gospel movement, the word movement? Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. And God said to all of you who will do the word gospel movement, you said, you are the light. Go shine the light. And why must we shine the light? Because the world is covered by darkness. And it has covered the people, right? The darkness and the covering, that all represents the force of Satan. And so to those who don't have the light, those who don't have the gospel, they are all seized, covered by darkness. And so arise and shine the light to them. And that's the word movement. That's the gospel movement. And God desires to save myself through the light as well. In other words, God desires to save me through the word and the gospel. And God also desires to save your family with the light, which is the gospel and the word. And in the works and the business and the studies and all the jobs that you have in your field, God desires to shine the light and save those fields with the gospel and the word. And when you know how to save like this, then you can save the 237 nations and do world evangelization and actually save the 5,000 people groups. You must be healed and become a witness of the gospel and the word. In your families, in your workplace, in your surroundings, and you may have financial problems. And I'm sure there are many difficulties and conflicts in your family that you cannot share to others. But with the gospel, with the word, you have to save it. You have to shine the light. And when you are revived, when your family is revived, then in your studies, in your business, in the work, and is revived, then God will use you and send you out into the world to be a witness of the world. And God gave this covenant to us. So please enjoy this blessing. God called Abraham. God called Abraham and says, through you I will bless you, and all nations will be blessed. Abraham didn't understand this in the beginning. He did not hold on to this covenant in the beginning. But one day he realized. He was able to actually hear the voice of God, the word of God. And he was able to hear all the plan of God. And the moment he heard it, the moment he listened, that's when his thoughts changed and his heart changed. And his life and his resolution and his action changed. And he was able to look up to God. And just like God promised Abraham, God also blessed us to be the forefathers of faith. And all of you are descendants of Abraham because you believe in Jesus Christ. And the promise given to Abraham is now being fulfilled through us and in the next generation. And God revealed his presence and his power to Egypt and all over the world through Abraham. And it seemed that Joseph was in crisis as he was a slave in Egypt. But God's plan was for him to understand the gospel. And it's the same with Moses as well. It seemed like Moses ran away from Egypt, but actually through that incident, he was able to understand God's mission and receive the covenant. And through that incident, Moses really changed. And he was able to break down all the forces of darkness in Egypt. And he was able to do the work of Exodus at that time. And that was when God revealed himself to Egypt and all over the world and showed who God is. And that's the light. That's the movement, that's the gospel movement in our generation. And God desires you to enjoy that blessing. It's the same with David. God testified to the entire world that God is alive. And you must believe that God has called you to save the 27 nations even now. Through your family, through your expertise, through your jobs, through your studies, God wants you to testify that God is God and that God is alive. And that's the word movement. That's the gospel movement. And saving many people. That's the gospel movement. And that light has already come upon you. That's why you're the witnesses of the light of creation. You're the ones who will explain the light. So please enjoy this blessing. Right? You are the one who's going to do this movement. Your family, your business, your studies is going to be used for this movement. But do you think Satan's going to just spectate? And do you think he's going to clap because you're doing a good job? No. So that you cannot do this amazing work, Satan will disturb you. That's why we have to fight against Satan. And we call that the spiritual battle. Because there's someone who will disturb you. Right, if you receive many blessings, people around you will start to come to you asking for help. Or they might start to, be jealous of you and, bully you. Or they'll do their best so that you won't get more blessings, right? That's a work of Satan. When you truly arise as a disciple that does the evangelism movement, the gospel movement, the word movement, and shine the light to all the people covered by darkness, the more you do this move, what do you think Satan will do? Little by little, he's going to disturb you. He's going to rise these incidents and those incidents, these hardships, those incidents, so that you cannot do this. In your interpersonal relationships, or using your past scars, or whatever it is, he'll make you stop doing the gospel movement. That's why Apostle Paul, to the church of Ephesus, at the very end, because it's a very important church to save Asia and Achaia and save Macedonia and save Rome. It's a very important church. That's why at the very end, he asked and pledged and seeked and told them to fight the spiritual battle. So please be victorious in the spiritual battle. If you cannot fight the spiritual battle, you will lose. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul says, right, he confuses the people so that they cannot believe in God and prevents from shining the light of Christ, because Christ is the image of God. Satan prevents you from shining the light of Christ. You are the light. But he's going to prevent you. Why? So that the light will lose its light and make you not interested in the gospel movement or the word movement. And make you fall into the world and live in the worldly ways. And that's how Satan deceives you. So fight the spiritual battle. So please fight the spiritual battle. And you must be really sensitive about this. If you lose in this spiritual battle, you are already in the world. You're already living the physical life. And you lose hold of your identity. You lose hold of your purpose. And you just live your life like the non-believers. And that's being covered by darkness. And so I bless in Jesus Christ, you'll be victorious in this spiritual battle. But you already received amazing blessings. Spiritually, you have already received the blessing to rule and subdue the world. And no matter what, you have received the status and authority that will never perish. And you can never enter Satan's kingdom anymore. Spiritually and for eternity, God changed you into a being where you are with God. And it seems we're living with our strength. But God actually intercedes for us and leads us. And we say it's impossible. We say it's difficult. We can't do it. We have lots of unbelief, so much scars, so much problems, and so much conflicts and worries. But moment by moment, God answers so that it will take place. And that is the spiritual blessing that you receive because you're a child of God. It's okay if you're powerless. It's okay if you're weak. It's okay if you don't work hard. Because by His time, whenever you pray, God sends heavenly angels. And it will all take place. And He will fill you. And He will fulfill it for you. These are the promises that God has given to us. And you have to think about these blessings in your life. But what's more in your thoughts? That's the passage for Satan to deceive you. You should be enjoying the amazing blessings God has already given to you and think about it. But we lose hold of all the spiritual blessings from God. And we always try to fill our needs, our satisfaction through the physical things. And we think work takes place when we have physical answers. And the more you think like that, the more those become a way for Satan to deceive us and get tempted. And so those who live a carnal life have a very weak light. Satan doesn't make you crumble at once. He first starts with your thoughts and then your heart. And it will quietly deceive you so that your life will completely crumble. Right? If you at once suddenly fall, then we all know that's the work of Satan. And Satan is very, you know, intelligent, so that people will know that's the work of Satan. He slowly, one by one, deceives your thoughts and in your heart and in your mind and in your heart and your soul, so that there's no word, there's no gospel, there's no prayer, and you don't even look up to God. It makes you powerless. It makes you completely paralyzed. It makes your thoughts fall into the carnal things, and the material things, and the physical things of the world. And the more you think that, the more your thoughts lacks the communication with God. And we Christians are very foolish that we don't pray if there's no problems. We only kneel before God when we face difficulties. But today, even if you're happy, you must pray the prayer of looking up to God. Even if your job is doing really well, you have to look up to God and pray to Him. When there's so much to be thankful about, even if lots of fruit comes to you, you should always look up to God and give thanks to God for the grace and the blessing He has given to you. Those are the living thoughts. Those are thoughts that really communicates with God. And that's the thought that moves the throne of God. And that's the spiritual state that you must be. And we call that the spiritual state. And those who have the spiritual state can always communicate with God. Or even if you're in the bathroom and pooping, you should still look up to God and pray. And I do that too. When I'm alone somewhere, I remind myself and meditate, this was the message God's given to me, and God promised to give these kind of answers. And I think about the message. And so in my everyday life, I'm communicating with God. And spiritually, when God looks at you, you're a good person. You don't have to ask for anything. God will give it to you. So the most important is for your spiritual state to always look up to God. That's the most important. Please enjoy this blessing. But what does Satan do? He makes you lose hold of worship. All those who participate in every worship, they are truly blessed by God. Because they are in the field where the word of God is being proclaimed. That's why they can fight their own spiritual battles. And God blesses them as He thinks. So please enjoy this blessing. So main content number one. Paul says, the spiritual knowing your enemy. It means you know your enemy and then you know yourself. To fight, you have to know your enemy. If you don't know who you're fighting, then you don't know how to fight. So you have to know your enemy, and then you have to know yourself. Right? The enemy is Satan. You have to know how Satan attacks against you, how he works, what kind of ways he defeats you. And so spiritually, you have to know who Satan is. And when you know that, then you can really fight. But are you going to just fight? No, we don't have the strength to fight against Satan. We cannot defeat Satan with any method that we use. Because next to God, Satan is very strong. And we humans are third. And the third cannot overcome the second. That's why the first, which is God, crushed Satan for us. And that's how we can defeat Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. No matter you fight against Satan 100 times, you're going to lose 100 times. Because Satan is a former angel who corrupted. But God created angel beautifully and with lots of knowledge and wisdom. But that angel corrupted and became Satan. And the moment it turned Satan, it used that wisdom for the evil things, for the bad things. And so with our human knowledge, we cannot overcome Satan's wisdom. And so Jesus Christ has come to crush the works of the devil. That's why in the name of Jesus Christ, we can crush the force of darkness. Right? And so you have to know your enemy and then know yourself. And you have to also know yourself. You have to know that you have been given the status as a child of God. You have to know yourself. You are a child of God. No matter what temptation, no matter what deceit Satan uses against me, I am a child of God that will never perish. Right? This is what you must have conviction of. Then the force of darkness will be crushed under your feet. If you don't know Satan, you cannot fight the spiritual battle. And so Paul is writing a letter to the church of Ephesus about the importance of the spiritual battle. So we're not fighting a fight against the blood and flesh, but we're fighting a fight against a spiritual warfare. Then what's the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle? How must we fight the spiritual battle? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Right? Finally, which means it's the conclusion. From Ephesians chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6, he writes about the individual, about the church, about the non-believers, about evangelism, about missions, about the posterity. And Paul writes many things about the book of Ephesians. And then finally, right, finally, so what? What's the final message? Right, finally means that there's something very important he's going to say at the very end, and that's to fight the spiritual battle. Yeah, to fight the spiritual battle. That's why in verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Right, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Spiritually, you must be strong. That's the very first preparation of battle. You have to be strong. And in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you may take stand against the devil's schemes. And verse 12, for a struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our fight is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil, which is Satan. It's the force of darkness. So may you fight this battle against the force of darkness. You have to know Satan. He's a very evil being. And I'll talk more about in second service, but he deceives you. Then who am I? Who are we? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you yourself are the temple of God? You are a child of God. Inside of you, Jesus Christ that crushed Satan is with you. And when we use His name, when we utilize His power, we can break down the force of darkness. That's fighting a spiritual battle. So please enjoy this blessing. Then to do this, what must you do? With the power that comes from Christ. You have to know that the power of God is already inside of you. Even if Satan goes against you, Jesus Christ is already in you for eternity, right? By His Spirit. Then what must we fight with? When we think of fighting against a spiritual battle, all we think is, oh, let's pray to break down the force of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. But Paul did not say to pray in the name of Jesus Christ to break down the force of darkness. Instead, Satan must be crushed under the Word of God. That's where you concentrate on the Word of God in worship. You have to concentrate on the word. When you have conviction of the word of God, that's when fortress crumbles. When you are weak in the word of God, Satan knows that. And will utilize what's inside of you and defeat you. That's why you get emotional, you get tired, you get scars, you have conflicts, and you hate, and you get jealous. And that's how Satan deceives you. Why? Because you are not standing before the word. And you are fighting the spiritual battle by standing firm within the word of God. That's the spiritual battle. Those who lack the word, they always fight with their emotions. They fight with their thoughts. Those who lack the word of God, they can't show the word of God to Satan so that Satan will flee. And instead, they would just talk about the scars in them and talk about all that they faced. They talk about all that they desired. Talk about all the things that that person didn't do for you. And you talk about all these things that happened in your life. It was hidden inside of you. It was stored inside of you. But when a problem arises, that's when you let it out. Right? When you fight, that's when you let all that you stored inside for that moment. And then you just continue to argue with that. And those are the ways for sin to deceive you. So to fight the spiritual battle, it's not only prayer. Before prayer, you need the assurance of God's word. You do not sway before the word of God. No matter what emotions you face, you do not sway because you have the word of God. You have these desires, you have those conflicts, you have these things and things. It doesn't go according to your ways, but you don't sway because you have the word of God, the conviction of the word of God. And 100% say they will kneel before that. But if you look at the content of those who fight, it's all very physical. Paul said it's not a fight against the flesh and blood, but all the conversations about flesh and blood. Because they don't stand before the word. And there are many times I was like that as well. And, you know, because I'm standing here before you to proclaim the word of God, I can say this, you know, boldly. It's a time to proclaim God's word. So it's not a time to talk about myself. It's a time to talk about God's word. So I will talk about it, God's word. But either way, whenever you concentrate on the word of God, the forces of darkness will crumble. It's God's word. How can Satan do anything about it? Right? Satan deceives you through the word of God. Adam and Eve were deceived because of the word of God, right? Satan utilized the word of God and used the physical eyes. And they did not stand before God's word. That's why they were deceived. So the greatest weapon in the spiritual battle is God's word. So please be victorious with the word of God. It's not just any word of God. It's not the Bible scripture, the verses. It's not about, you know, memorizing and speaking these Bible verses that the work takes place. It's the gospel message that revives you. The gospel message that really emancipated you. The gospel message that really healed you. Right? It's the gospel message that really gives you strength. Before this gospel messages, the false directors cannot do anything about it. And Satan has to admit that. That's when Satan will be crushed under your feet. A lot of Christians say, Satan, go away, and the false directors, go away. And we tell them to go away. Even though if they go away, they're going to go around, wander around. But there's no place for them to wander around. That's where they're going to come back to you. And when they come back to you, right, this person looks like a good person now, like a morally upright person. But Satan is an evil spirit, so it goes out and brings a stronger evil being. It brings seven times the strength of the evil spirit and comes back to you. And after you believe in Jesus and corrupt, it's more scarier than the non-believers. After you believe in Jesus and corrupt, they're more evil than non-believers. Because seven times a stronger evil spirit is working upon them. And they can say, you know, I've been in church, I've been a choir, I've been a deacon, I've been an elder in the church before, and they're the more corrupt people and more evil people. But that's how Satan works. You have to have evidence. You have to show the evidence to Satan that God healed me like this. You have to show the evidence of God's word that healed you before Satan. You have to show the evidence that God gave me this kind of strength. That is my gospel. That's Rhema. Not Logos, but Rhema. Because Satan cannot do anything before the evidence of God's word. When you have that evidence of God's word, that's important, it will crumble. Please enjoy this blessing. And you have to fight this spiritual battle. You have to open your spiritual eyes. You have to open your spiritual eyes. And I bless in Jesus Christ that your spiritual eyes will open. And realize, oh, this is the work of Satan. Number two. The believer's power is a spiritual armor. And this spiritual armor is not my power, but it is God's power. You have to arm yourself with God's power. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Where we act... We are flesh, but we do not act according to the flesh. But the weapon that we use in our fight does not belong to the flesh. But it is only by God's power that crushes all things. All right, God's power will even crush all things. In other words, you have to be spiritually healthy. You must be spiritually healthy. Your spiritual state must be a state where it will not sway by any confusions by Satan. That you must have that conviction. And so you have to concentrate on the gospel, concentrate on the word of God, and continue to be strong in Christ. So you have to concentrate on the gospel, concentrate in the word. And you have to be strong. You have to be healthy. And why in Taraban do we make you do the 3 2-days or the prayer journal or a scheduled prayer, continuous prayer, concentration prayer? And we have all sorts of prayer. Because if you lose hold of your spiritual state, then that instant you'll quickly fall back into the world. So you have to remain inside the Word. Receive the guidance of the Word. And see how that Word is going to be fulfilled in your life. And we're training you to do that. If you don't even have a time to even concentrate in God's word a day, then you're going to have to be filled with so much worldly thoughts. You'll be filled with physical thoughts. Where can I find delicious food? Oh, I'm going to play golf today. When you lose all the God's word, those are the thoughts you're going to be filled with. I want to eat pig intestines today. I want to eat pig feet. If I go to Korea, I can eat those Korean food. And, you know, one thought leads to another thought. And you're going to be filled with those physical thoughts. But if you go to Japanese restaurants, there's no pig feet. And it's always the same Japanese food. It's always the same pork meat or noodles. And there's nothing else to eat anymore. And when you lose the God's word, you're going to begin thinking about these physical thoughts, and that becomes your life. Right? I'm sure it's not just me. I'm sure it's all of you too. The time you don't think of God's word, that's the time you're thinking of the world. Then what happens to your spiritual state? That you're just waiting for sin to come and, you know, live with you. And you're open your house. And then when someone says something that you don't like, then that's when you get irritated and angry. And that's when all the hidden things of the past and all the things that you stored in the past comes out. And get very emotional. And that's how people live their lives, thinking that's life. But all of you are the evangelists to save all those covered by darkness. Then you have to arm yourselves. You must not be deceived. And you must prepare the word of God. And you have to raise the correct walk of spiritual state before God. Right, we all have emotions, so if someone says something bad to us, then of course we get angry. But if you are filled with the word of God, those things just passes by. So that it doesn't irritate you or it doesn't matter to you anymore. Instead, you think, how can I restore myself with this word of God? How can I revive my spiritual states with this word of God? How can I change my life with all the spiritual blessings God has given to me? And you return to the Lord. And you go back to the message. And that's how restoration takes place quickly. And your spiritual state must, and the cycle must change like this. And so when God looks at you, you're truly a very good person, okay person, right? We cannot be complete individuals. I'm not saying to be complete. Yes, at times you should be emotional. At times you should, you know, have conflicts and fall into trials. And all those many things, but that's not the main thing in your life. You shouldn't remain in that. You shouldn't fall down to a point where you lose strength and be deceived by Satan. That's not who you are. You are people that can quickly restore yourself. Even things, those things happen, you can quickly restore yourself in God. Why? Because you have the Word of God. You have the Gospel. And the Holy Spirit is right now in you, guiding you and working in you. And so you can quickly restore yourself. And that's a spiritual armor. And so with the Gospel, with the Word, you must be healthy, you must be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. You have to arm yourselves with the blessing of the covenant. Spiritually arm yourselves. Wear the helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. Right, it's a breastplate that protects your body. And the belt of truth. And the gospel of peace is your sandals. And the sword of the Spirit in your right hand, and your left is the shield of faith. And this is a parable. Paul is speaking parables, but there's a meaning behind this. And so Satan attacks you these ways and those ways, and Satan attacks you in many ways. So there's something you must never forget inside your mind, inside your thoughts. You have to always remember that you have received salvation, that you're a child of God. You must have assurance of salvation. Who am I? I have salvation. I am saved. I am a child of God that Satan can never overcome. The gates of Hades will not overcome you. They cannot. You must have this conviction, and this must become your spiritual state. What's the breastplate of righteousness? You have the thanksgiving and the moving of the heart of salvation in your heart. Those who have this thanksgiving and moving of the heart of salvation, right? How is it a person like me can be saved? And you're so thankful, so, you know, thankful by the grace that even if someone makes a mistake, you can accept them, you can admit them, you can, you know, receive them, and you can save them. And you can pray more for them. It's because they don't understand. It's because their spiritual state is not in a state where they can understand. And you must have this assurance. And the belt of truth. It's your belt. You know, I lost a little bit of weight. And so if I don't use the belt, then the pants falls down. And so it's strong. I need to make it tight because it falls down. And it's a promise of God's covenant. And like a belt, you have to make it tight. You have to firmly hold on to the covenant. And gospel of peace, the sandals. You give peace to everyone that you meet. You say shalom, peace. And even if people say unbelief and fall into trials, you realize, oh, Satan is working against through that person. And you apply the word of God to that person, the forces of darkness will crumble. And that's the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Word. But you love to hear the words of unbelief, then you lack the sword of the Spirit, or you lack the faith of shield. If you're the shield of faith, when you hear non-belief, that non-belief will go back to their mouth. And the shield of faith. You have to see things through faith. The church office is very important. And very important church officers. Because it's so important. From chapter 1 through chapter 6, gives the message to save the region, save the world. But at the very end, he says, finally. What? Be victorious in the spiritual battle. What's the spiritual battle? You must have assurance of salvation. Be thankful of the salvation in your heart. And firmly hold on to the covenant and give peace to everyone that you meet. And with the word of God, crush forth darkness and protect yourself with the shield of faith. And keep this. And this is the full armor of God. In the past, when the people went out to war, they wore a full armor and went to the battlefield. In the same way, when we fought the spiritual battle, enjoying these things is a spiritual battle. Do you understand? May you fight the spiritual battle. And last, number 3. The actuality of the victorious believer and the church. The victorious believer. And the victorious church's actuality. In the end, the victorious believer in the church is a church that does events and missions. In the field that you are actually in, all disaster curses must be broken down in that field. Why? Because you have assurance. No matter what people say, you can give them the answer. That's gospel word movement. And those who have this assurance can save the field. You can fight against spouses, fight against brothers and sisters, and fight your children, and have conflicts. I'm sure there are many difficulties. But it's not that person's fault. In the background, Satan is working to crumble your family. That's when your family, you need just one person that really fully arms itself with this gospel, with this spiritual armor, and that will save the family. And that family will turn into a gospel-renowned family through that one person. And God has given you this amazing blessing. So please be victorious. So prayer and evangelism. You must always remain in prayer and evangelism. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Moment by moment, pray in the Spirit. What you see, what you feel, what you feel, hear, and even things of trials and unbelief and conflicts and everything that you have, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And when you pray, the Holy Spirit will work. Then you'll be restored. And everyone else will be restored. And have my concentration time. My time of concentration. Have a time where you can concentrate on the Word. Even just 10 minutes, you must have this time every day. And that is a time that really revives you. That is a time that heals you. And with the mystery of the gospel, in verse 18, may all of you first revive, save this age, and enjoy the blessing of the evangelist and the blessing of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. To this first service message, we thank you for granting us the message of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12, 20, to become the victorious believers and church. And we truly give you thanksgiving for this blessing. To all the believers that you love, may they fight the spiritual battle, not fighting with our mouth and our words, but may we arm ourselves with the Word of God and arm our spiritual states with the blessings that they have given to us. And not only will we save ourselves, we'll save our family line, save our posterity, and save Japan, and save the 237 nations and all the world. And will you bless us to become your witnesses? And this week, may we live with assurance and wear the full armor of God and become the people who pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We thank you and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.